Well, beloved, hallelujah. Let's try this again. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. God bless you today in the wonderful and the marvelous name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I did the devotion today after studying and meditating and listening to God for hours. And then I ministered for a half an hour and sent it to everybody. And then I went to play it, which I usually listen before I send, but I knew today was just purely from the Lord. So I just, boom, just sent right away. And then I went to listen and it was completely silent. I had had my sensors turned off on my phone, so it didn't record anything. And at first I wanted to cry. I was like, oh my goodness. And then I just started laughing. And without the spirit of life, oh my goodness, without the teaching of the Holy Spirit and understanding the truth, man, that would have really discouraged me without the Spirit of God. It would be like studying and praying and going to preach and ministering your whole sermon in church and then realizing your microphone was turned off the whole time and nobody heard a single thing that you said. And that would have discouraged me for at least a day. But what I was ministering on, I'm going to minister on again here, I got to experience. And it's so wonderful to experience the fruit of the Spirit. And let's get into this today. The fruit of the Spirit. When we look at this scripture in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, about 25 years, almost 30 years ago, I remember the Holy Spirit really showed me something in this verse that I really didn't fully grasp. And I'm grasping a lot more as the years go by. But he emphasized when I read that scripture that that word spirit, it has a big S. It's the fruit of the spirit. It's not the fruit of a spiritual man. It's not the fruit of a spiritual woman. It's not the fruit of a religious person. It's actually the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not your fruit, even if you're a strong believer and pray a lot and fast a lot. It's not your fruit. He didn't say the fruit of a righteous man or the fruit of a faithful or a spiritual person. He said the fruit of the Spirit with a big S. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. And as years progressed, I was really discouraged often by the fact that I could spend hours praying and seeking God every day and still not be patient, still not love many people, still not be joyful, still not be long-suffering, still lose my temper. It used to drive me crazy because I thought walking after the Spirit, walking after the Spirit was praying and fasting and seeking, reading the Word and studying scriptures. And for some reason, after doing it for many years, I was still not loving and patient and kind often. Sometimes, of course, I was, but often I wasn't. And I wondered why it doesn't work. And the Lord really began to help me to understand what He had showed me all those years ago. The Bible doesn't say the fruit of a spiritual man is love and joy and peace. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. It's not how, as a matter of fact, when Jesus came, He said, you guys study the scriptures because you think, he was talking to the religious people of his day, you study the scriptures because you think that by them you obtain life or you find life in the scriptures. He was rebuking them. He said, but you refuse to come to me and I would give you life. In other words, religious people think that they're going to find love and joy and peace and long suffering. They're going to find life in their religion, in their studying of the Bible, in their praying, in their fasting, in these things, they think they're going to find life, but the truth of the matter is, it can't be found in those things. Life is a person, it's a spirit. The spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. The spirit of. And the Holy Spirit really began to help me to understand how the fruit of the Spirit, how His fruit is laid hold of, and how it is manifested in our lives. And I began to remember as I was meditating on this that religious people, very spiritual people, are often the most impatient, the most unkind. There's actually a book, I don't remember the name of it, but a waitress got radically saved and she actually wrote a book about Christians. And she said, most waiters and waitresses hate to work on Sunday because of all the Christians. They're the most rude, demanding people, and they tip less than anybody else. They're rude, they're demanding, they're picky, and they tip less. And I mean, this was across the board if you talk to waitress and waitress. And I remember because I've been going out to eat with Christians for 30 years. I remember so many, especially the most religious Christians, the one that didn't watch any secular TV, the ones that prayed a lot, read the Bible a lot. They were the most picky. They're upset because their tea didn't have enough ice. Their tea had too much ice. Their tea wasn't sweet enough. Their tea was too sweet. Their plate was too small. Their food was lukewarm. Their food was too hot. Their food was cold. There was always something wrong with their order. Always, I mean, it's just common. And Christians are very often very impatient people. Very impatient people. And it's amazing. And I also recalled today as I was meditating on this in the presence of the Lord, a good friend of mine, his name was Todd. He got a job with one of the most well-known evangelists in America. Matter of fact, this evangelist, he still travels to one of my best friend's ministries in Czech Republic. He still travels there every now and then and ministers for him. Extremely well-known evangelist. And my friend got a job as his assistant and started traveling with him everywhere. He finally quit the job for the sole reason. He was making good money, enjoying going, traveling all over the world. But he quit the job for the sole reason that the guy was a jerk everywhere they went. He said every place they went, he complained about everything. He was rude to the hotel clerks. He was rude to the maids. He was rude to the restaurant people. He was rude to the even at gas station. I mean, he was just rude to everybody. He was never satisfied. Nothing was ever good enough for him. And he said he finally couldn't take it anymore. And if I could line up all the evangelists I've ever known in America and still today, I would put this guy in the top one or two of spiritual evangelists. People that are always praying, always talking about the presence of God, talking about being hungry for God, talking about staying with God. And that's all this guy talks about. And he's so popular for it. Very, very spiritual in the pulpit. Very spiritual. And he prays a lot and he fasts a lot and he reads the Bible a lot. And yet he's. My friend had to quit because he said that's one of the rudest guys I've ever known in my entire life. This is just more evidence that being spiritual does not produce patience. It doesn't produce love. It doesn't produce joy. It doesn't produce long suffering. And the Lord really helped me begin to understand this over the last 5 or 6 years more clearly than I ever could have imagined. Because he began to really show me what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Very important. I was raised in charismatic circles, Pentecostal circles, where the Holy Spirit was mainly the gift giver. He's the one that enabled us to speak in tongues, to prophesy. He's the one that knocked us out on the ground when we were slain in the spirit. He's the one that made us feel goosebumps. And so the Holy Spirit to me was spiritual things, about spiritual things. And about 5 years ago, the Lord really began to open my eyes and wake me up to a lot of the things I believed that were false. And in doing so, he showed me what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't say the Holy Spirit will come and give you gifts. He didn't say the Holy Spirit will come so you can talk in tongues or prophesy. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will come to lead you into all of the truth. He will take what belongs to me, Jesus said, and he will make it known to you. Jesus called him the Comforter, the one that comforts us while we're going through the battle, going through the fight. When you begin to understand the fight, you begin to understand his comfort. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. Rulers of the darkness. And how do we fight the enemy? We cast down imaginations and every idea, every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you ever do a study on the phrase, the knowledge of God, when the Apostle Paul uses that, you will find that in every single case he is referring to the cross. The work of the cross is the knowledge of God. That is the knowledge of God, is the work of the cross. So the word said, we cast down imaginations and every thought, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. A lot of new versions want to change that and say, make all your thoughts obey Jesus. Well, good luck with that one. That's not what the word said. It said, bring all your thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus. What he accomplished, captivate all your thoughts with what he accomplished. And so the Holy Spirit's comfort is by teaching you the truth about the cross. This is how he comforts. He's not just here to pat you on the head and say it's going to be okay. He's not here to knock you down and give you goosebumps so you'll feel better, though that does feel good for a moment at least. He's here to lead you into all of the truth. Now, watch this. Jesus said, if you will continue in my word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He didn't say your praying will make you free, your fasting will make you free, your reading of the scriptures will make you free, your effort, your spirituality will make you free. No, he said that knowing the truth will make you free. And they said, what do you mean, make us free? We're not in bondage to anybody. He said, I tell you the truth, whoever sins is a captive to the sin. If you're sinning, you're in bondage. And sin cannot be expressed any more so than in our lack of love, our lack of humility, our lack of gentleness, our lack of joy, our lack of peace. That's really how sin manifests. It manifests in all that. And the only way to really be set free from these things is by knowing the truth. Now, watch. This is how the Holy Spirit will enable you to bear his fruit, not your fruit, his fruit. He does it by teaching you the truth. It's not your praying and fasting and seeking and zeal and passion and religion and effort that's going to set you free. Never. Now, those things are important. You're still going to pray and read and do those kinds of things. But if you think that by doing those things you're going to be free, then you don't understand the truth. It's not that that sets you free. It's the Spirit of God teaching you the truth. You could memorize the whole Bible and not know the truth. Men have done it for centuries. You could memorize every scripture and believe that you're right and start your own camp and still not really know the truth. I preached for at least 20 years without really understanding why we all had to die and believing that we all did die and learning how to reject my own life and deny myself and genuinely take up the cross and follow him. I did, I preached it. I preached that, I quoted that, but I did not understand it. I come to God not because I hated my life. I came to him because I loved my life. I wanted him to bless it. And I was under the false perception that this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to put me on the top. He was going to bless me. My breakthrough was coming. All those lies had gotten into my life. And friend, they were not making me patient. They weren't making me kind. But when the Holy Spirit really began to open my eyes to the truth,
Amen. And I realized that we are all the exact same thing. And I realized why I had to die and what's wrong with Jeff's life. Then I began to see the people that I didn't like, just like me, and I didn't have any feelings of dislike or hatred for them anymore. Back then, it was like Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, different people that I disagreed with politically. I would see them on TV, and oh my goodness, I couldn't stand such people. I may not say it because I knew it wasn't right to say it, but I just didn't like what they stood for. I didn't like abortion. All these things. I was religious and I was right. I was part of the religious right. But when the Holy Spirit began to really show me the truth, I looked at these people and I saw me. They're exactly the same thing I am. This is why I had to die. This is why they had to die. We're not supposed to tell them they need to be like us, they need to be better, they need to know what's right. We're supposed to tell them why they had to die and show them what Jesus really did. And when I began to understand, it was amazing. It was amazing because there was such a patience there and a kindness there and a lack of strife in me that wants to prove I'm right. Whether I talk to a person who's gay or I talk to, it's not that I approve of any of the things that we're doing. It's that I see that we are all the same thing and we all had to die. And that's just one example. When the Holy Spirit really begins to teach you the truth, this is what he does. The fruit of the Spirit can only manifest in your life the more you meditate on what Jesus says and what he said, and the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to the true meaning of it, and you begin to see what he meant. It's like when Jesus came into all of his words are so important, but Jesus didn't just come out and say, "You all had to die because you're all the same thing." Jesus revealed it, but he did it veiled. He helped those who had ears to hear. He kept the ones that didn't have it. Matter of fact, the word says that the truth has been revealed to you, but kept from them. God reveals the truth to babes. Blessed are you who can understand. Amen. He spoke in parables. But the things that Jesus was saying was revealing the truth. For example, when he said, you've heard it taught, thou shalt not commit adultery. All the religious people were standing there. They're the ones that teach that. Still today, they're the ones that teach you shouldn't commit adultery. It's the religious people that teach that. Jesus said, but I tell you, if you've thought about it, if you've done it on the inside, you're an adulterer. What he did there was he showed that every human being is an adulterer. He showed every human being is a murderer. There's not a group of murderers, a group of adulterers. We are all the same thing, whether we do it on the outside or we do it on the inside. We've all done it. If you've ever hated anybody, people say, I don't hate. All that is impatience. If you're impatient with anybody, even if you don't express it on the outside, if you can't stand somebody, you see what you are often in traffic. Most human beings see what they really are. Your impatience, your all that stuff is hatred. You're a murderer. There's a lot of people you wish weren't in the world. That's a murdering spirit. That's what we are. So Jesus revealed we're all the same thing. He said, you think those people that the Tower of Siloam fell on were worse sinners than others? But I tell you, lest you all repent, you will suffer a fate likewise. You're all the same thing. Jesus was always trying to reveal that, but he did it undercover, and you need the Holy Spirit to show you the truth. The Holy Spirit is always, my friend, always going to speak about the cross. Always. He's always going to be pointing you to the cross because every division comes because we don't truly understand the work of the cross. This is what Paul taught. It's not my idea. Paul came and said, there are some of you who say I'm of Apollo, some I'm of Cephas, some I'm of Christ. He said, but we preach Christ crucified. This is the answer. You got to get this. What is the answer to all of our denominational, all our division, all of our ideas of what's right and dividing into our own camps? The only solution is to preach Christ crucify. That may sound too simple to the natural mind, but it is the answer for every division, because all of our dividing into camps comes from the knowledge of good and evil. It comes from us thinking we are right and somebody else is wrong. And when we don't truly understand the work of the cross, we do not have brokenness, we don't have humility, we're impatient, we're unkind, we're unloving, we don't have true joy. When we don't really understand the truth, friend, we divide into our camps. We divide into our, I'm right, and that person's wrong. This is where all strife comes from. Without pride, there's no contention, Proverbs says. It doesn't exist. If there's no pride, if there's no feeling of I'm right, then there's no contention. Oh my goodness. So when the Holy Spirit, the only way the fruit of the Spirit, the big S, the only way the fruit of the Spirit can be manifest in you is when the Spirit does His job and you listen to Him and walk with Him and say, teach me the truth. One thing I found out, He can't teach you if you think you know it. This is where I was for sure, but nobody could have convinced me of that in a million years. I thought I knew what was right. So I wouldn't even listen. I thought I was listening to the Holy Spirit. But when I studied the scriptures, I studied them to prove I was right. I studied them because of what I believed. I found scriptures to back up what I believed. And I can find them. And what I believed, a lot of it was, quote, right. But I was missing some serious, serious foundation stones. I didn't hate my life. I didn't look at everybody as exactly the same thing. I didn't see it. That's why I joined a certain political party. I believed in a certain, I believed all kinds of things that just aren't true. God's kingdom is not of this world. Satan is the one that has power to give control of the nations. That's very clear in the Word of God. I grew up thinking America's godly. We're the godly nation. We have the favor of the Lord. Friend, I don't want to get into that because I know people will get offended. But I would have gotten majorly offended if I would have heard this. The fact of the matter is, America's not great because it's godly. It's great because it's greedy. It's great because it has more military strength and more power, and it's taken advantage of people. It's killed many, many, many people to stay on the top. America has. We're not all wholesome. I mean, we go back and say, well, years ago, America was godly. Friend, what year was that? We talk about, well, George Washington, you know, he was God. There is no season ever. In any nation of this world where the nations were truly godly, they're not truly godly. The closest we have was Israel trying to obey God's law, and they weren't even truly godly and went into captivity because of it. America's not God's chosen, blessed nation, friend. We are rich. We're on top of everybody. Jesus said the first shall be last and the last shall be first. You don't get to the top in this world by being godly. If you think that, you don't understand the truth. You don't understand the new covenant. And when I began to see that, and the Holy Spirit began to show me that, I was humiliated, because I would argue with people online and fight. That's why I got rid of Facebook years ago. I would fight with people and defend America and say, you know, defend white people and we're not racist and America's not. And I defend what we did with the Indians. I defend everything, defend Christopher Columbus. And a lot of the stuff I said was true. But I was saying it out of my human patriotism, as if my country's a godly country. Don't talk bad about my country. And the Holy Spirit had to help me see that that's really not true. And by doing so, He wasn't trying to put down America. He's just trying to show me the truth. By doing so, I have no desire anymore to strive with anybody. I don't see right and wrong on one side and the other. There, we all have some things that are right, and friend, we all have a bunch of things that are wrong. And the thing that we don't have is we don't understand why we all had to die, why we all had to die, and why we all must hate our life. There's no group of us that needs to hate our life and the other group doesn't. We are all workers of iniquity. And none of us can enter the kingdom. This is why we had to die. And when the Holy Spirit begins, just little things like the Holy Spirit begins to teach you the truth, then you the strife goes away. And what replaces it is the patience of the Spirit, the gentleness of the Spirit. I don't have anything to prove. I don't think I am right. There's only one right. It's the cross. It's the truth that we all had to die and that we all did die. And that if we don't reject our own life and believe in the life of the last Adam, we cannot be delivered and healed and set free. We've got to understand what he did and why he had to do it. To bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. This is how we wrestle against the enemy, casting down every imagination that exalts itself against the work of the cross. If anything, you know what exalts itself against the work of the cross? An idea, that person's wrong and I'm right. That immediately exalts itself against the work of the cross. The work of the cross is proof that neither one of you are right. So you've got to cast down that imagination. And you've got to bring your thoughts captive to what he accomplished and why he had to accomplish it. And it'll end your argument. It will end your stance. It will end your strife. It will end your dividing from people because they make you mad and you're impatient. Oh my goodness. There's nobody more impatient in the world than religious people who are trying their hardest to be spiritual. And it seems contradictory when the Bible said the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And then those people that try to be spiritual the most are the least loving, the least joyful, the least peaceful. I remember when I began to pastor a church and when I became the full-time pastor there in 2003, and some of the greeters of the church, you know, the always smiling, hey, pastor, and they started giving me all kinds of problems. And I was like, what in the world? One time, we had like 100, I don't know, after I was there for a couple months, it's maybe 120, 130 people there one morning, and I missed shaking the greeter's hand. And I loved these people. I thought they were great. I loved them. They're Christian people. They're always smiling in church. I even called his wife Sister Holy Ghost. They're both old. They're long gone now. They both passed away. But back then, they got so mad at me, and they went to the board because I didn't shake their hand. They said I walked by them, and I didn't greet them, and they were so offended. And I was a young pastor. I was like almost, I think I was 30 years old. I was a young pastor, and I didn't understand, you know, how could they, oh my goodness, I love those people. Why are they so upset with me? A couple years later, I ran into somebody who was their next-door neighbor. And they said I didn't talk bad about it. By the grace of God, I didn't. I sure could have. But they knew those people, and they were talking about them. And they said, that's their next-door neighbor, the very next-door neighbor. They said, those are the nastiest people they have ever met. They're always mad about something, always complaining about something. This was the couple that got mad that I didn't shake their hand. And they were some of the most prominent pillars of the church. Remember, this is what religion does to people. It doesn't give them love. It doesn't give them true joy. It doesn't give them true peace. I was friends with a young pastor recently, and I've never met a person that's more greedy, that wants to take advantage of people, and he's open about it. He's not ashamed of it. Will take advantage of somebody to benefit himself. Quick, real quick, will all kinds of things. I was like, oh my goodness. And you know what? I'm seeing my own life there. It's what we all are, and religion doesn't change it. Often we use religion We use religion to strengthen our wickedness. Oh my God, that's why the law arouses and manifests our sinful passions. We actually use our religion to kill people with our tongue, and sometimes we use our religion to kill people literally, physically. Religion, oh my goodness, that's why the world looks at religion as terrible, because it is terrible. It doesn't create love and joy and peace and patience. It creates the opposite of that. And it doesn't make sense. You know, the more spiritual you are, the less loving, the less gentle, the less understand, less kind. You start dividing into camps and putting down and criticizing and judging everybody. And it's just, oh God, help us. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the big S, is love and joy and peace. But that doesn't come through some kind of impartation. I remember one time I was praying for 5 hours a day.
And I had a roommate, the same roommate that worked for that guy, the famous evangelist. And he was messy. But I told him, okay, you be messy in your room, keep your door closed. But you got to do your own dishes, you got to pick up your stuff. And every now and then I'd fuss a little bit about that. When we moved into a house I let him rent a room from me. I rented the house and then I rented out a room to him. He left a box at the front door for 4 months. Oh God, I was so upset. And every now and then I'd say something about the box. And I would put his shoe, he left his shoes and stuff in the living room and I'd set him by his door. And I say, if you do dishes, I'm sorry, if you use dishes, make sure you clean your own dishes. And one day I had to rush off to work after eating a bowl of cereal. And I put the bowl in the sink and I came home and I was praying in my room for like 2 or 3 hours. And I came out of my room. I was so deep in the presence of God. Oh man, I had the anointing all over me. My skin was tingling. And I opened my door and my bowl was sitting at my door with my spoon in it. He did it just to be facetious because I put his shoes by his door when I was vacuuming and stuff. He did it just to be rude. Took the bowl out of the sink and he hardly, oh God, I always had problems with him too. I was so mad though. This is what I want to emphasize. I still feel it. I'm right. He was wrong. I was so mad when I opened my door. I really thought of kicking his door in and punching him in the face. And I had all kinds of thoughts about, man, when I was a kid, we'd get in a fight at school and we'd be best friends. I just need to go punch him in the face and then we'll be even closer. These are the crazy thoughts that went through my head. But the amazing thing to me was I had been in God's presence for 3 hours seeking Him, praying, and oh God, the anointing was all over me. And in 1 millisecond, I went from that to wanting to punch somebody in the face for putting the bowl there. And so what I'm trying to say there is all of that praying and all of that spirituality did not produce love. It didn't produce gentleness. It didn't produce kindness. It didn't. What it did produce is self-righteousness. What it did produce is feelings like I'm right and others are wrong. It did that, but it never really brought the fruit of the Spirit because the fruit of the Spirit doesn't come from being spiritual. The fruit of the Spirit comes from the Spirit Himself. And what He has come to do is to teach us. And to lead us into all the truth, he will always teach the same thing, just different aspects of it. And that is Christ crucified. He will always be showing us the cross until we can understand it and reject the life of Adam that we have and that everybody else has. We can't really bear his fruit. The truth is what makes you free, and nothing else will do. No amount of prayer, no amount of fasting, no amount of memorizing scriptures, only the truth. And you can't get it by studying the Bible according to Jesus. You can only get it by coming to Him and really listening to what He says. And He is talking if we've got ears to hear. But once again, our pride, my pride got in the way. For many years, I couldn't see it and I couldn't change it. Only God could do it over time of disappointments, discouragements, things not turning out the way I expected until my pride was broken. And then I was willing to really listen. He began to show me why I had to die and that everything I've ever done or ever will do in my own life is tainted, no matter how, quote, spiritual it is. I had to die because I'm a worker of iniquity. It's not what I do, it's what I am. This is why I had to die. And every day I've got to take up my cross and let the Holy Spirit teach me the truth in every situation and in every circumstance so that I can walk in His fruit. I've noticed this in a tremendous, it has a tremendous effect on my relationships. I used to argue, my wife and I, when we would get in a heated discussion, ooh, it wouldn't take long. It wouldn't take but a few minutes for me to start feeling heat on the inside and just get mad. And even if I didn't say anything on the outside, ooh, I was mad. And usually I would say something, unless we were in public, then I wouldn't say anything. But I'd say something later. You need to submit to your husband. You're not supposed to question me in public. And different, or getting an argument going down the road in the car.
And just we were coming back from vacation the other day, and she was trying to disagree with me on some things for about an hour. And amazingly, I just sat there and talked to her. I wasn't, I'm sure not everything I said was perfect, but the amazing thing is I never felt the heat. Not one time. It's been like that for quite a while. Just understanding the truth. Even sometimes in the middle of a conversation, I'd just stop and say, you know what? This is why we had to die. This is why we had to die. And man, the Holy Spirit just begins to open eyes. It just takes away the strife. And when all I'm focusing on is the cross, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Amen. I just keep listening to what he's saying and saying what he's saying. What he says is right, but it doesn't give me the feeling that I'm right and you're wrong. It's just different. But it's such an amazing thing for to really know the truth. It delivers you from strife. It delivers you from anxiety. It delivers you from pride. It delivers you from all of the junk. It delivers you from lust. It delivers you from it. It's just amazing what the Holy Spirit would do if we can really hear what he's saying and meditate on it and understand the truth. It makes us free in Jesus' name. God bless you today. I don't know if the first time I did this and it didn't work was better or not. But I hope the Holy Ghost will minister to you through my weakness today and help you to really understand the fruit of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.